there is selfish ambition. There's ambition that's all about promoting the ego, but it doesn't have to be that way. There can be a holy ambition, what I call sacred drive. You can cultivate a sacred drive so that you could pursue excellence in a way that it doesn't just result in your own personal gain, but in the good of the world and the glory of God.
Arise, champion!
This is the world famous Steve Weatherford Show, where each week we bring you stories, messages, and guests to create massive breakthroughs in your life. Somebody say greatness! This show has been strategically designed to accelerate you, to thrust you to the next level. Greatness is in you because greatness made you, and we're gonna help you get into the center of God's calling for your life. Arise, champion! Nothing can be denied the one that won't be denied. The question is, how bad do you want it? Turn the speakers up, call a friend and tell them Steve Weatherford is on.
What's up, guys? This episode is brought to you by my good friend Pure Spectrum CBD. Pure Spectrum CBD is committed to cultivating and crafting the highest quality hemp-derived products and CBD products on the market. They're also the U.S. Olympic sponsor. And I've tried tons of these different products, from the bath salts to the tinctures, and none of them even come close to the pain management, the recovery, and the sleep performance that I've gotten from Pure Spectrum CBD. My deep REM sleep has gone up 28%. By comparison to 13 months ago, and I track it every single day with my Whoop Band. I feel more rested, I feel more recovered, and that's what really gives me that edge to run three different businesses, to coach entrepreneurs, to hit the gym like a savage, and still have enough in the tank to really come through powerfully as a husband and as a father. So if you're looking to gain an edge in your day, Pure Spectrum CBD is my go-to choice to perform at my highest level. Visit purespectrumcbd.com today and make sure that you use promo code Weatherford, because that'll get you 10% off of your order at checkout. That's purespectrumcbd.com using promo code Weatherford at checkout. Enjoy the show. All right, guys, man, I've been really excited to meet the guy that we're having on the podcast this week. He just released a book a couple months ago. He was a guy who I listened to a lot of his podcast episodes, but the initial attraction to the podcast wasn't him. But I also eventually started to have more takeaways from him than the guy that initially attracted me to the podcast. The man that I'm talking about is Von Kohler. He's an author, he's a speaker, he's a pastor, he's a father, he's a husband, and he's the guy that I've been really looking forward to meeting for probably 3 or 4 years now. And I never did end up receiving, or actually I received it, but I never took him up on the invitation to go do the show with you guys, just because everything was so busy and crazy. And now that I wish I would have, because I would have got to sit down with you, but now we get to do it on my show. And man, I'm just fired up you're here.
Dude, it's an honor. First, let me just say that anybody who's on a team that beats the New England Patriots is my kind of guy.
Come on, man.
Can I go there?
Only two of them got away from old Tom, man.
No, in all seriousness, I'm just so blessed to be on here. You know, Steve, I've been following what you've been doing. And can I just say, because this is kind of a thing with me. Can I say that I love that in your whole brand and what you're trying to do in the world, you like to emphasize the kingship of Jesus. And I love that because, you know, the truth is that He's the Word become flesh. He's God become a human being. So He does meet us where we're at. He is down to earth. But I think people take that and they run with it. And there's an over-familiarity with Jesus to where it's almost like, Jesus is my pal. No, Jesus isn't your pal. Jesus is the King.
Yeah.
He's your friend. Yeah. He's your friend who will lay down His life for you. But He's the King, and we can never forget that.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Seriously. And so I love that you emphasize that aspect of Him.
Yeah, thank you. I'm in my process just like everybody else is, but that's when things really shifted for me, if I can speak on that. It's like when I was a kid, I got saved when I was 11, and like at that point, Jesus is your Savior. But I didn't really know how to make Him my Lord, meaning like, how do I do life with Him? How do I align with the Holy Spirit in a way where I'm able to accomplish things that I would never have even wanted to accomplish unless I was allowing Him to guide my thoughts, guide my actions. And that's a whole different dynamic. When you get saved, like, that doesn't cost you anything. But when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and you're serving Him with your words, and not that I'm perfect by any means, but that is my intention now versus just using God so I don't go to hell. So thanks for noticing that.
Yeah, man. You bet. Well, when you were talking, I was thinking about that great quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who German pastor who was martyred by the Nazis. He said, "When Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die." that's what it is. Commitment to Jesus means if it comes to that, you die.
Yeah. Yeah. It took a lot of years for me to get to this place. And it was because, you know, I had to actually achieved a lot of the things that I thought, like, man, once I get these, there's no way I won't be happy. I was actually able to get a few of those things, you know, and like a lot of those things. And come to find out, I'm just glad that, like, I came to this realization at 36 years old versus like 56, 66, that, like, dude, none of that stuff's going to fill your cup, man. You know what I mean? And my cup is full. My cup is overflowing right now. And that's why I believe, like, I am unashamed to, like, do it like I do it on social media. And not that it's just social media, but I do it in my own life. And I also put it on social media. And I am unashamed. You know what I mean? Because I used to live for the judgments of, like, everybody in the crowd. And now, like, I feel like I wake up every day and, like, it's an audience of one.
Yeah.
You know, which is not my default, dude. I was 36 years running life. And running my my operating system a certain type of way. But man, once you have an encounter with God and you know it's undeniable, you can't turn back. It's like the Matrix, man. It's like taking the pill. You can't go back, bro. I don't want to go back. You know what I mean?
That is absolutely
so true. Anyway, man, dude, just really excited to have you here. And so the Andy Frasilla podcast, just for everybody that's on social media right now or listen to the podcast right now, the name of the podcast was the MFCEO Project, right?
Yeah. The original podcast that I was on with Andy was called the MFCEO Project. And then the new one that he started after that one kind of wrapped up is Real AF.
Yeah. And so the way that he got attached, and if you guys don't know who Andy Frasilla is, you'll do a better job of describing really the amazingness of not just his personality, but like what is his Wikipedia page? Like he's a nine-figure entrepreneur. Yeah. So why don't you tell them a little bit about who Andy is, and then I would love for you to get into how you actually ended up like interviewing him for the newspaper and all that happened. So tell us about Andy first.
Yeah. So in 1999, he and his business partner, Chris, you know, started a business with virtually nothing, money that they had generated, you know, painting the stripes on parking lots. Mm-hmm. And he literally from 1999 to now, he scaled a business into a nine-figure nutritional supplement business. The retail side of it is called Supplement Superstores. They have stores all over, you know, Missouri, Kansas, a host of other places.
So they still own those stores too?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the retail end of it, right? Okay. And then then they decided at some point to start their own supplements, and that's First Form.
Yeah.
1STPHORM, First Form. And they've just been spectacularly successful with that. And the reason that they have been is that, for me, as I take stock of kind of what I've experienced with Andy, he's got a lot of strengths. But the two greatest strengths I think he has is the man knows how to lead and he knows how to build culture. Mm. He knows how to affirm a set of core values and then show people why those core values are so important, creating amazing customer experience. He is able to get the most out of his team members. You know, it is not always easy working for Andy or working with Andy. He's a very intense, very driven guy. Mm-hmm. But there was a point after a couple of years of working for him that I thought, you know what? He is this intense because he cares. And I would be doing myself a disservice if I wimped out and quit.
Right.
But I've got to take this. I've got to take the intensity. I've got to take the hard words because they're making me better. Mm. And yeah, I just can't say enough about him. Everybody's got their thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people see him on social media and they see the intensity and what they think is anger and they hear the cuss words and, you know, rough around the edges, fire-breathing Italian, and they go, oh, he's not for me, he's not for me. And that's really a shame because he's one of the best men that I've ever met in my life.
I absolutely judged him at first because I'm like, I never even heard of this guy. Who does he think he is talking like this? You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're right. If you can get past all the F-bombs, if that's not your thing, I mean, I was from football background, so that didn't bother me, but a guy speaking like so certainly that I had never heard of, I'm like, slow down, homeboy. I don't know who you are, but you're right, man. Leadership, culture. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's totally fine.
I judged him too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I get it. And if some people, if they have a weak conscience, if they just can't deal with the language, I get it. But really, if you're missing out on just brilliant lessons of business, brilliant lessons of motivation and mental toughness. And that's, you know, and the truth is, Andy and I have talked about this a lot, is that people didn't know this when we were doing the you know, MFCO project, when we were talking about sales, when we were talking about customer experience, we were talking about mental toughness and perseverance and all these things, people didn't realize is that very subtly weaved into all that was biblical truth.
Yeah.
We just weren't being overt about it.
All truth is God's truth.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like the things that work in business, just because somebody isn't a Christian doesn't mean that biblical principles and promises aren't for everyone.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So like that to me, all truth is God's truth.
Oh, 100%. That was the motto of the Christian college that I went to. And they used to just pound that into our heads is that everything in the Bible is true, but not everything true is in the Bible. So you could find people who were saying true things, regardless of what the source was. As long as it was true, it was honoring to God, you know? And so that's kind of where we were coming at with the MFCO project. And so it was just a surreal experience. It was great. You asked about, I don't know if you want me to tell a story of how I met him right now, go into that. So was a pastor for 10 years for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was that I thought, hey, I want to become a college professor.
Yeah.
That was one of the main reasons that I left. I left that. I went to work for a college for 2 years. The woman that I had married just finished up her residency. And so my wife and I kind of looked at where God wanted us. We felt led to go to St. Louis for various reasons. My parents had moved there. So when we got there, I was pretty cocky because I was like, you know what? I had talked my way into Benedictine College hiring me. So I'm just going to do it again. I'm just going to have another college that I can talk in.
And you said like in your book that like things just came pretty easy to you.
It really did. I mean, I've always been pretty good with people. I've always been pretty good with words. And so it just came easy. And when I got to St. Louis, I thought this same
another
thing.
Another one,
getting,
right?
You know. And so what happened was I started putting out resumes and wanting to meet with people. And I was getting nothing.
Right.
And the only thing, there were two things that came up at the time. One was that I was able to write articles for this local magazine that was basically trying to be a GQ, but for Christians,
right,
you know, or not necessarily Christians, but virtue, you know, wanting to promote virtue in the form of sort of a GQ-like magazine. But that wasn't a full-time job. That was something that they wanted me to write, like individual, right? It was like $250 an article.
Right.
And then the other thing that I got a call because I put out a resume and a company called TriStar Water and Air, they contacted me to be a water purification salesman. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a water purification salesman. When you've been a pastor for 10 years and you have this dream of how you think God's going to use you, right? Then all of a sudden, I'm like 40 years old and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a water purification salesman.
Right.
And so I was pretty discouraged. And I remember the very first day, the very first day I drove out, you know, I finished the training and the very first day I drove out is a very bleak February afternoon in Southern Illinois because I was driving out to my first sales call. And I remember, are you a Star Wars fan? This is kind of a funny.
Yeah.
But you know when Luke realizes that he can't go to the academy at the beginning of A New Hope and he's just bummed and he walks out on and he's looking out over the sunset and there's the two suns coming down and you've got the really melancholy music playing and he's like, I'm screwed. Like, I have no future. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
I felt that sort of melancholy music, you know, playing and like, what am I doing here?
Right.
And so I'm heading out and I get a call from Bobby Keppel, who was a publisher of the magazine. And he said, hey, would you like to be the editor of our magazine? I said, yeah. And he said, well, it's a startup, so we can't pay you a lot, but it will be a full-time job. I said, I'm in. He said, well, how soon can you start? And I said, I'm on my first sales call for my new job. Let me do that. And then I'll start later this week. And he goes, great. Really important. We want you to interview this guy and write an article about him. I said, really?
That was the first one?
This is the first one that I did as a full-time guy.
Right.
And I said, oh yeah, who is he? He says, his name is Andy Frisella. And I didn't know how significant that was.
Right.
But I went and I interviewed Andy. And to be honest with you, like I walked into his office. Part of me was like, oh, he's going to be one of these cocky Italians who's just like, I'm just going to have to kind of bite my tongue a little bit.
Right.
But when I went into his office, there was this big picture of a bulldog. And I thought, well, that's interesting. He's a dog lover. That's good. Because my dog Rudy died a couple years ago, but I had him for 13 years. Great yellow lab. I mean, he saved my daughter's life. Literally, I love my dog. So when Andy comes in, we sit down. He's real nice because he's always real good with people who are interviewing him. And I said, hey, listen to
people who are interviewing
him. Well, I mean, he's nice to everybody, but you know what I'm saying. Like, he's really
he's
good.
He's more patient.
Yeah, he's not an extrovert. He's an introvert. And he's really trained himself to be social, so to speak. So I said, well, before we start, I got to ask you, what's the deal with the dog?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh man, that's my best bud, Oscar. He died a couple years ago. And so we bonded for the first 30 minutes before I ever interviewed him about dogs. And I think we really clicked and I got a sense that he and I are people that can get along. You know, two guys that can get along. So yeah. I wrote the article about him. And I go back a couple weeks later to deliver the magazine. And he reads it. And he's like, dude, this is a good article. He says, this is really good. You're a good writer. I said, thanks, man. You have really great ideas. You should write a book. He's like, I should, but he said, I just don't have the time. And at the time, I had started a business as a ghostwriter. So I said, I have a thought for you. I said, I know a guy who can write for you. And he laughed and he said, oh, really? So he said, well, send me a proposal. So I sent him a proposal, which was for more money than as a former pastor. I'm like, there's no way he's going to go for this.
You owned your value.
Oh, I owned it. Yeah, wow. I researched it and I was like, you know what? I knew I'm going to be a good writer. I know I'm going to do a good job.
So I threw out the number. Give him like a sweetheart deal.
No.
That's amazing.
No,
yeah, good for you.
I mean, and so I sent it out there and laid it down on the table for him. He looks at it. He didn't even blink. He's like, yeah, that's cool. And in back of my mind going, oh, maybe I should have doubled it. But no, it was very generous for him to agree to it. And so we started meeting and we started talking about all sorts of things from sales to customer service, to mental toughness, to perseverance, to discipline. And what I would do is that I would ask him these questions and he'd start answering and I'd start asking him additional questions to get him to unpack his ideas. And he basically, you know, Instagram was fairly new. Facebook was pretty hot, but Instagram was fairly new. And so Andy got this idea, hey, let's just record some of my answers and we'll post them on social media. Well, he did that and people started going crazy.
It.
Yeah.
Loved
they're
it.
Like, where's your podcast? What's really funny. People don't really understand this these days because podcasts are so hot. But even just 5 years ago, a lot of times if you had a podcast, it was some technologically oriented thing or computer. It was almost sort of this geeky thing.
Yeah, yeah. Always geeky.
Yeah. So Andy's like, I don't even know what a podcast is. Well, long story short, he decides to have one and he says to me, hey, I want you to be the co-host. I'm thinking, okay. I was incredibly honored by it. But, you know, I'm a former pastor. I was a conservative Baptist pastor. And so I'm thinking, are people going to completely judge me for this?
Right.
Like, I personally didn't have an issue with it. It's not a big deal. I don't cuss a lot myself, but didn't bother me.
But influence is important.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just reputation, but without reputation, it's hard to have influence.
Yeah, absolutely. And so at the time, I was teaching a class at a local seminary, and I went to the people who ran it, and I said, what do you think about this? And they said, well, is he promoting immorality? I said, no, not at all. He's just got, you know, kind of cusses like a sailor.
Right.
But what he says is actually biblically based. And it's just what I would call just basic Judeo-Christian principles applied to business and success.
Right.
And they said, well, yeah, if your conscience is okay with it, we don't think anybody, well, their point was anybody who would be scandalized by it, it's not going to be watching in the first place. So I got some affirmation about that and I went through with it. And honestly,
was your wise counsel.
It was huge. Yes. It was really wise counsel. And I almost turned it down. I really did. Cause I was so worried, you know, oh, are people going to think I've gone off the deep end? Cause I left the pastor.
If you hadn't got that wise counsel, you probably would have turned it down.
I probably would have. Yeah.
You needed somebody to confirm it. You know,
I did. I needed somebody to confirm it. And what I think is really cool is that I never intended, not because I was ashamed, but I never intended to make a big deal about the fact that I was a former pastor, you know, or that I was seminary trained.
And
literally right from the beginning.
He loved it.
He loved it. Yeah. He's like, we're going to call you the pastor disaster.
Yeah.
And we're going to like emphasize that.
It's the first thing I said to you when you walked into our little humble studio apartment in here, man.
That's right. Yeah. So he likes to give nicknames. He teases me that I give myself nicknames, but he's always called me the Pastor Disaster and Vaughn the Impaler, which
is
two very different nicknames. Steve, it's been surreal because it not only has it been a great way to, I think, help people build businesses and get strong, mentally strong and develop personally, but in the last 6 years, it's been crazy how many people, because they know I'm a pastor, God just opened up that whole ministry and that mission field for me. And there are people who, you know, on various levels, like they could be committed Christians or they could be just open to spiritual things. And I'm getting these DMs going, hey, you used to be a pastor. I have a question about this, or I've always struggled with this. What do you have to say about that? Can you offer me some counsel? And it's crazy. I have a platform that I never dreamed of. And when I was, you know, driving to that sales call in Southern Illinois thinking, oh man, my dream's over. God's saying, no, it's not. You have no idea the platform I'm about to give you. And it really gets me emotional. Honestly, it does. Because if you would have told me, and the other thing too is that, I mean, you spent your whole life in athletics and sports and fitness and that sort of stuff. But if you would have told me 10 years ago when I was still a pastor. By the way, God's going to give you a platform and you're going to become very active in ministry in the fitness world. I would have said, you're nuts. But that's what he did.
You didn't need a 19-inch neck to do it.
No, I didn't. And I mean, it's so great.
Isn't that crazy?
It is great. And it's crazy. And I could not have been sent to a better company in First Form, because I remember like it was yesterday. You know, I grew up the scrawny kid. Even as an adult in my mind, I'm still that scrawny kid. Very self-conscious about working out, all that stuff. And I remember the first time that I said, you know, if I'm working for a fitness company, I should start trying to get in shape. And I met with, there's a guy there named Jarrett Bond. He's one of their best team members that they got at First Form. And he said, now, Vaughn, you're an athlete. And I said, Jarrett, I'm not an athlete. He goes, no, Vaughn, you're an athlete. I said, Jarrett, I'm not an athlete. He goes, are you working out? Yeah. Do you have goals? Yeah. Then you're an athlete. And it was like, wow.
Perspective.
It was
shift.
A total shift in my mind about, you know, just, you have to say what you are, even as you're becoming what you're meant to be. I mean, that's very biblical. So St. Paul is constantly saying, you know, you're children of God. You're the holy nation. You're a people who once were in darkness, now you're light. You're still struggling, but you can reckon yourself as righteous before God. You can reckon yourself as children of God, even as you're seeking to continue to embrace that identity. So it's been just a really amazing journey and a surreal journey. The people we've met along the way, it's just been crazy. Everyone from Ed Milet to Tim Grover and Lewis Howes, your friend, and you, of course. Seriously, yeah, I mean, it's an honor. Man. Across, you know, the last couple of years, I always get, you know, two major questions. One of them is, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm driven and I'm ambitious and I want to run up the score and I want to destroy my competition and I want to scale my business to 9 figures and I want to win all the championships, but I feel guilty about that.
Like guilt and shame.
And the church culture makes me feel guilty for wanting to be an overachiever.
That's how I grew up, man.
Yeah.
And my honor, my mother and my father, but it was almost kind of felt like at my church, if somebody rolled up in a Cadillac, you shouldn't be driving a car like that. There are people that are hungry.
Right.
You know, and so I always wanted to be like WWF. You remember WWF when it was freaking, you know what I mean? It was real.
Right.
Man, dude, the way Macho Man Randy Savage used to smack Andre the Giant, like it left marks. They were bleeding for real. It
That's
was a
right.
ketchup packet.
That's right. Ric Flair
and
Dusty Rhodes.
I wanted
Dream.
To look like that. Yeah. And I wanted to drive a Lamborghini. And I wanted, you know, I'm like Ric Flair. I loved all that stuff. But I thought like the fact that those were desires of my heart, like I felt bad about it because I did start to run up the score, you know, like as an athlete, as an entrepreneur, you know, on a small scale, dude, I was doing awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that if I ever wanted to be like that, then how dare I? And I did some of those things and I felt bad while I was doing it, you know, maybe because Christians shouldn't do this. And then I felt like when I got around Christian men who were running the score up. And when I say that, like, I'm saying it exactly the same way you are. I'm not stealing from people to feed mine, but I'm going out there and maximizing the gifts that God gave me. And it's okay if you monetize some of your gifts.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're an incredible speaker and you want to go and share your testimony, it's okay to get paid for that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Because here's the thing. Wealth is going to be created by somebody. So is it going to be somebody else who's going to make $1 million and not use it for kingdom purposes?
Right.
And or is it going to be you and me?
Their first fruit, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's right. And use it for the glory of God. And so people kept on asking that. And it got me thinking, you know, well, I need to answer them and I need to give them a full answer to that. And my quick answer to that is, hey, listen, there is selfish ambition. There's ambition that's all about promoting the ego. But it doesn't have to be that way. There can be a holy ambition, what I call sacred drive. You can cultivate a sacred drive so that you could pursue excellence in a way that it doesn't just result in your own personal gain, but in the good of the world and the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so that was what motivated me. You know, I want to put this all together in a book. But then the other aspect of that too was, you know, and I think you've probably noticed this, the personal development and success space and entrepreneurial space is awesome. I love how people are so upwardly mobile and I love how their commitment to excellence. But sometimes there's this weird syncretism between, you know, sort of watered down Christianity and then new agey kind of stuff.
Oh, and the prosperity.
Yeah. And then pop psychology. And a lot of people said, like, is there a way that we could, somebody could address these principles of personal development from a expressly biblical standpoint.
Right, right.
And so that's what I wanted to do. And I'm not claiming to be the only guy who's ever done that, but that's what I'm very confident that people are going to get in the book, is that if there's an insight from personal development psychology that's consistent with scripture, then yeah, I'm going to include it. But if it's something that's sort of egotistical and not consistent with the word of God, then I say, let's jettison that and let's focus on what God's word has to say about motivation, discipline, excellence, time management, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So in the introduction I was reading, I actually went through and pinned a couple areas that like spoke to me, but I literally underlined exactly what you're talking about, like the sinful ambition, you know what I mean? And trying to delineate, well, what's sinful ambition and what's holy ambition? Like, what's going to build the kingdom? And it's kind of like, you know, if we build his house, he'll build ours type of thing. And then you describe, or you define, sacred drive as a righteous motivation to pursue our God-given potential, not just for our gain, but for the glory and the good of the world. And so, to me, that kind of like Ed Milet's mantra, like max out physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, all of these areas, if we max them out, we're becoming the best human that God created us to be, you know, operating in the fruits of the Spirit, and we make a lot of money doing it,
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
But the focus should be on developing what God gave us, and then everything we place our hand to will be fruitful. But if you don't work on your discipline, if you don't work on being, you know, a man of integrity, if you don't work on being a man of honor, if you don't work on being generous, then when you achieve these are things that you achieve will actually own you and stop you from getting to your next level, because you're focusing on the things.
Right.
You're not focusing on the character traits and the core values that will create that culture that you said, like, nobody creates culture like Andy Frisella. Well, it's kind of like the state of Texas. The state of Texas has an identity. I've only been here for about 2 months, but they have an identity and they have core values. You know, before we hit record, Vaughn was talking about his experience of Texas so far and like how everybody opens the door for us, and he forgot to open the door and he was deep in thought on something, and he said everybody in the area that he was in like stared at him like he was crazy.
Like, I forgot to open the door for
we have an identity. That's
woman
what we
behind
do
me
here.
And I just was zoning out and I got all these dirty looks, and I'm glad I did.
Right.
That's a good positive peer pressure.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, for sure. I put this book together and I intentionally wrote it. You know, it's 17 relatively short chapters. I tried to boil it down.
It's so nice, and it has questions at the end
questions
of it.
Questions at the end. So it just gives you a foundation for all of these things. And you know what's interesting? You know, not to get on this tangent, but what's funny about people's response to the book is that, you know, overall it's been great, but specifically what I keep being told again and again is, this book ought to be given to all graduating high school seniors, because it literally is the biblical basis for excellence. And if people put the principles into practice from the time you were young, your whole life, then good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Really good things.
Yeah. Our core values in my family is, and you've spoken a lot of them, it's leadership, it's positive attitude, it's excellence, and it's generosity. And then for me, it's just like, all of those, you pick those core values because those core values are what's going to create the culture. And what I think is just so dynamic and cool about you is you were really biblically raised, you know, through seminary and all these things. So you knew the core principles from the Bible, and then you had an opportunity to go work alongside Andy and see those biblical principles probably popped out at you like a neon light.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
totally.
You're winning over in this area because of this principle and that principle. And then you're just sitting here and just like listening more.
Yeah.
Like, it had to be, because you weren't just a fly on the wall. You were engaged in really guiding the conversation. One of the things I loved about you on as a co-host is you always brought it back to center, because Andy would go off on these tangents, which were really fruitful and really insightful, but then you would bring it back to the actual task at hand to be able for the story to be fully told, man. And it was incredible.
Well, I appreciate that. We have a really good dynamic, and he's been very kind about telling me lately. He's been saying, come on, dude, you need to come back more often, because we just have this great dynamic. And so I have actually committed to that. I'm going to start being back on Real AF probably every 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. It's a 5-hour drive between St. Louis and Manhattan, where I'm at. And by the way, it's Manhattan, Kansas. It's so funny how many people think, so you moved to New York? No, I did not move to New York.
No, you always put Kansas after it. Every time you say Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah. So, but it's really not a bad drive. So I'm doing it about every 2 weeks. And it's a great privilege to be able to to record with. He and his brother Sal is awesome. And
did
DJ.
You know that I partied with him in college?
I did not know Sal? That, but yeah. I'm not surprised. That's hilarious.
We partied one time.
That's hilarious.
Extraordinarily hard, like to the point where like he remembered me and that's I remembered
funny.
Him.
That's funny.
And I didn't go to that school to like meet right. dudes.
Well,
we went there to chase chicks, and we remembered each other because that's how hard we were going
that's
in the paint.
Well, that makes sense because he was SIU and you were Illinois. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And they had all the girls that couldn't get into University of Illinois. Man, that's it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Man, unbelievable time there in about 2002. I sure do appreciate it. And we apologize for damages done. What else can you tell me about this book, man? Because I want to tell everybody where they can go to get it.
Well, one thing that I would really like to tell, it's in the book, and so this is kind of ruining it a little bit, but
no, you're not,
I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people, is that, so I do some coaching one-on-one, and one of the things that I tell my clients is I say, you know what, in the world of personal development, there's such an emphasis on formulas and methods and having your structure. And that's all great. It's super important because we thrive in structure. We thrive when we plug in the right formulas and the right principles. But what's different when I work with people, and I want people to get this clearly in their head, is that we can't start with that as Christians. We have to realize that any success we have, any aspect of our life that is vibrant and powerful and successful is always a gift of God. And it is always first and foremost a result of His grace. And so when you and I pursue our potential, when you and I become all that we're meant to be, and we're doing that on a day-to-day basis, it shouldn't look like the world looks, because you've probably known, as I have, lots of driven and ambitious people, and they are high achievers, but you get really close to them and you realize, this is a person who's pretty stressed out. He's pretty anxious. He's pretty high strung. Like, there's a lack of peace and there's a lack of just trust on a daily basis. And so a lot of that high achieving is driven by this frenetic, like, I got to be better. I got to be better. Right. But there's no satisfaction in it. There's no enjoyment of it. And what I always tell people is that the Christ-centered, grace-centered approach to personal development is to realize that you are loved and accepted in Christ. Your Father delights in you. And so anything you do in terms of pursuing your potential should be a result of just saying, God loves me, and now I want to show Him that I love Him back. And in my book, I tell the story of, there's one of my favorite chapters, it's called Motivating Grace. And I talk about when I was in fourth grade, my grandfather came to live with us. And I loved my grandfather. He was just the quintessential, generous, kind grandfather. And he had been a factory worker for most of his life, and he had smoked. And so he had a lung removed because he had emphysema. So he got really weak. So he moved from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, out to Kansas, where the air is a little bit better. That's what his doctors told him. And so it was great to have him there. I remember watching The Karate Kid 1983 with him, and it was just a great memory. But it got to the point where he was so weak that he couldn't even get out of bed to go to the bathroom. So we had a porta potty put by his bed, and my job was to empty the porta potty, which frankly, Steve, was not that hard. You just take out the bucket, pour it into the toilet, and replace it. It even had like what, ammonia or something in it so that it didn't smell. But one time my mom asked me to do that, and I was just in a bad mood, and I just pitched a fit, and she said, hey, don't let Papa hear that because he's going to feel bad. He's going to feel like he's a burden to you. And she's right. She was right. So I tried to hide my bad attitude, and I went in there, and I did it. I came back to put the bucket back in the porta potty, and my grandfather leans over and he says, hey, Vaughn, come here for a second. I said, what do you want, Pop-Up? He goes, hey, come here. He said, emptying that porta potty. It's kind of gross, isn't it? I said, oh, you know, it's not that bad. And he said, no, it's gross. He said, I heard what you were saying to your mom. And I was like, all of a sudden, just felt like a total heel, you know? Like, here he is, this great-grandfather, and he hears me complaining about serving him. So I'm kind of bracing for a tongue-lashing, which is ridiculous because he wasn't like that. But I knew that I was wrong. So I knew that based on justice, I had something coming to me. And so he says, hey, I just want you to know that you're just a great-grandson, and I appreciate you so much. So here he is. He's lavishing praise on the guy that doesn't deserve it at all. I tell you what, I remember this like it was yesterday, Steve. He reaches out his hand. He says, here, put out your hand. I was like, Pop-Up, what are you doing? He said, put out your hand. Remember, my grandfather was a blue-collar worker his whole life. He was never wealthy. He reaches out his hand. He says, put out your hand. So I put out my hand, and slowly he opens it. This is 1983. Slowly he opens it, and he removes his hand, and there's a crisp, clean $5 bill there. He says, I really appreciate you serving me. I hope this blesses you. And I was so blown away. And I looked at that, and at first the thing I'm going through my mind is, holy cow, I can buy like two G.I. Joes. I can buy so many Razzles. I can buy like Lick of Sticks. I can buy, and all of a sudden it hit me. I was complaining. I was had a bad attitude. And this is how my grandfather responds. Not only does he praise me, but he pays me. He gives me $5. And I got to tell you, man, that was 1983. I went to a four-year Christian college. I went to 4 years of seminary. I got advanced degrees in, you know, biblical studies. Nothing has taught me more about the grace of God than that simple little act of generosity. Mm. And what I like to tell people is we all have different stories. We all have mistakes that we've made. We've made train wrecks of our lives. What we need to remember is that God is just like my grandfather. He takes our complaining. He takes our unworthiness, and he says, here, I'm going to give you $5. In fact, I'm going to give you $5 million. I'm going to shower blessings on you. And so the point of the chapter is that grace isn't something that just saves us. It does. I mean, that's the primary thing, is God's grace saves us. But God's grace should also motivate us. It should also just empower us to say, you know what? We have a God who loves us, who wants to shower grace on us. Let's set amazing goals. Yeah. Let's dream big dreams. And let's not get so caught up in quote unquote our unworthiness. But instead, let's say, wow, this is the God who loves to lavish generosity on us. So you know what? I'm going to make the most of my life, and I'm going to pursue my God-given potential because I can. Because God loves me and wants me to become all that he made me to be. And so grace is huge for me. It's huge. I don't even really like that term self-help, because as a Christian, yes, we have personal responsibility to respond to God's grace. But I just like the idea that we should all, as Christians, understand that grace is the motivating factor in life. And if we understand just how amazing God's grace is, then we would be fearless. We would literally dream dreams that make people laugh at us.
Yeah, like unashamed.
Unashamed.
Yeah, I'm standing in agreement with you, and I feel like that's my motivation right now with my son and with my marriage, is to like be so focused on nurturing that, because I believe that God gave me a really good thing. But in order for other people to be impacted by the blessing that, or the opportunity that I have of being a father. Dude, I just had another baby.
I know. I'm so excited for you, man.
4 days ago. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't wait to get home to see him later.
It's a great name, too. Today. Kingston Craft. Yeah. I love it.
So, like, that's just another opportunity. I believe that God gave me another son because of everything that he's taught me with this work, this first one. And just like you and I were talking about before we started, like, dude, I was 36 years old before I really got my life together and got serious about core values and like really serious about the husband that I wanted to be and what I wanted to be remembered by and what will people say about me at my funeral. Like, what is my lasting impact? Like, not what is my kids' inheritance, but what's their legacy? Like, inheritance is money, cars, clothes, all that crap, you know, but like, what is the legacy that I'll leave behind? And like you're saying, you know, kind of your pop and that lesson that he learned, that was a legacy lesson that impacted. That was the first time that probably that you really experienced like God's grace through another person, but it taught you an important life lesson. And so I say all that to say, like, where I'm at right now is I'm still just as motivated, and I don't have any guilt or shame about developing my body or developing. And some of the things I used to feel bad about, like, I don't feel bad that I'll go downstairs and get in a really nice SUV and drive home.
Yeah.
You know, I used to feel bad when I would work so hard to get that car and then get inside of it and then feel bad. And I believe that's grace, but I believe the grace is allowed me to achieve it, but also you can't feel bad when you're driving home and you got worship music on and you're like, God, you are so good.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, dude, I don't, sorry to interrupt. No, I was just going to say, I don't remember if we were already recording when we were talking about Billy Graham, the great evangelist. And I was telling you that there's a great book out there, a biography of Billy Graham called Prophet with Honor. It's kind of the definitive biography of Billy Graham. But there's a part of it that just like hit me so hard, and it relates to what you were saying, which is, here Billy Graham is, you know, and if you don't know who Billy Graham is, probably the greatest preacher America's ever produced. He was a confidant to, I mean, senators, presidents,
all the presidents,
celebrities, and yet he was super down to earth, never a whiff of scandal in his ministry, preached to more people on planet Earth than anybody in the history of Christianity. And so I've always thought, wow, if I could just be like Billy Graham. But what's very clear that comes through in the book is that as amazing as Billy Graham was and as amazing as his ministry was, he could not have done it if it wasn't for a core group of wealthy Christians who basically funded his ministry. And so you had entrepreneurs and leaders and business people
that couldn't preach.
Like that couldn't preach.
They can't preach.
But their
like
gift was, we're really good at creating wealth, and we're going to fund this guy so he has an international ministry that extended into, I mean, world-changing results. And so that's what I would say to anybody out there who is listening to this, that you might not be in a quote-unquote direct, vocal, public ministry where you're teaching or you're ministering in the church setting. You may be a business person or an entrepreneur or someone who just is in a position where you're able to create a lot of wealth. Good for you. Just use that wealth for kingdom purposes and find people to support that can be the mouthpieces and sort of the boots on the ground. But you are every bit as valuable to the kingdom of God as any preacher.
That's good, man. That's good. Where can people go to find this book? And then after we get done plugging your book, your social media, all that stuff, I would love for you to pray for us.
Thank you. So VaughnKohler.com is my website. It's VaughnKohler.com.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah,
and all
there's
that stuff.
There's a link on my website to buy the book, but you can also go directly to Amazon. It's just Sacred Drive. If you search Sacred Drive Vaughn Kohler, you can buy it on Amazon. One thing I do encourage people to do if they don't want to spend money and they just want to get regular stuff from me, I have a newsletter that I send out every week.
Yeah.
If you go to my website and click on newsletter, you can sign up and you're just going to get it every week. I try to basically write something that is the integration of both faith and personal development.
Yeah.
You know, it's the whole point of it is to help people pursue their God-given potential. Another way I like to say it is that, you know, what does it mean to be successful in a way that is true, good, and beautiful, consistent with God's word and the glory of Jesus? And so I'm on Instagram. It's at Vaughn Kohler on Instagram. I do have a Twitter account, Facebook, but I'm primarily active on Instagram. But I always love to talk to people. If you DM me, I'll do my best to DM you back. But yeah, that's how you connect with me.
That's awesome, man. I finally got to meet you.
Yeah,
man.
I'm thrilled.
It's been like a good 4 years. I've been listening to you for like 5, but it's been a good 4 years. So I'm like, man, I'm really looking forward to the day that I connect with that guy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man, as busy as you are and as busy as I am, unless we get like intentional to be together, just like you know, man, life gets busy. Yeah. So I'm glad that you made time to come here and be with me.
Steve.
And not doing it on Zoom, because that's, although I'd be super stoked to do that too, man. It's just, I'm a people person, man.
Yeah,
you know,
too.
Like I like to be around people, and it's been a gift to be with you for a little bit of time today,
man. Yeah,
me
too. Yeah, I'm great.
Let's pray.
Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Moses said, show us your glory. And that's our prayer. Show us your glory. Show us how incredibly holy you are, how incredibly powerful, how incredibly gracious and merciful and just, and burn your holiness into our eyes. Give us a vision of you that doesn't compare to anything that we've experienced prior to this. Lord, let us know that just like Isaiah, we are sinful, we fall short, and yet you call us to a divine mission to spread the glory of your Son everywhere. Lord, each person listening to this podcast and watching this podcast has gifts and skills, has a unique personality and unique temperament that you gave them. Lord, if they will not be who you meant them to be, nobody else can do it for them. And so I pray that you give them the courage, the confidence, the willingness to serve as only they can serve so that you will be uniquely glorified in their life. Lord, help everybody pursue their God-given potential, not just for their own gain, but for your glory and the good of the world. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray, the King of glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Vaughn, it's been awesome. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, share it with somebody. Leave us a review. Tell us how amazing you thought this podcast was, how amazing Vaughn is. Go to VaughnKohler.com to get his book. He's also got a weekly newsletter. That's free. Man, I hope you sell a lot of these books, man.
And
I hope a lot of people are impacted because there is truth inside of this book, man.
Thank you.
And so I'm real honored to be able to leverage this platform so you can spread that message.
Thank you.
God bless, man, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Steve Weatherford Show. If you love what you heard today and you believe that God has a calling on your life, I want you to do something for me. I want you to share this episode with your friends and your family. And I want you to also make sure that you're following me on social media at Weatherford5 for a behind-the-scenes look at my life, my family, and my work. And remember, champion, greatness is in you because greatness made you. I'll see you next time.